Welcome to the Model Railroader, your ultimate destination for all things railroading. From trains.com, we bring you step-by-step modeling and construction projects, insightful reviews, tips from the experts, and more. This program is proudly presented by AfterSight, a community hub for audio news, entertainment, and resources. Find us at aftersight.org. This program is intended to be used solely by individuals who are blind or have low vision. All aboard!
Thank you for joining us for the Model Railroader magazine, read by Jason Consul. This is week 3 of the April 2024 Model Railroader magazine. Today, we will be reading the following articles: Model Railroader Hall of Fame, Diesel Locomotives by Generation, and A Quarter Century of Spookshow.net. Model Railroader Hall of Fame nominees. These three brought operations, track planning, and promotion to our hobby. By Bryson Sleppy. By now, you may have heard that we've been creating a Model Railroader Hall of Fame. Why? It's the 90th anniversary year of Model Railroader magazine, and we wanted to honor those who have contributed so much to our hobby. Editor Eric White inaugurated the Hall of Fame in January's issue, along with the first three nominees. In February, senior editor Cody Grivno shared three more nominees, and last month, senior associate editor Stephen Ott followed suit. Now it's my turn. The list of nominees will be put up on our website, trains.com, and you can vote for your favorite there. Using your smartphone camera, visit the website associated with the QR code on the next page and vote for your favorite candidate from this group of nominees. If you've already voted in previous month's polls, please continue to vote for new nominees. The inductees will be selected by a popular cumulative vote from the whole year, not one per month. Previous nominees can still be voted for by visiting trains.com. Do you think we've missed a worthy nominee? Please let us know at the addresses listed on page 8 of the magazine. We will take your suggestion into consideration, but we can't guarantee that they will be nominated. The candidates must have made a significant contribution to the model railroading and be no longer living. The inaugural class of the Model Railroader Hall of Fame will be announced in the December 2024 issue. Until then, please continue to vote. Model Railroader Hall of Fame nominees for January: Albert C. Kalmbach, Lynn Westcott, and W. Allen McClelland. February: John Allen, John Armstrong, and Gordon Odegaard. March: Art Curran, Andy Sparandio, and Jack Work. April: Gilbert A. Freitag, Ian Rice, and Frank Ellison. Gilbert A. Freitag, 1936 to 2022. A true ambassador of the hobby, Gilbert, also known as Gil Freitag, made a large impact on the hobby, especially in the Houston, Texas area. Gil's iconic HO scale Stony Creek and Western has been featured many times in the hobby press, including the July 1982, August 1995, and April 2003 issues of Model Railroader, as well as Great Model Railroads 1994. He began building his layout in 1966 with a goal of having the longest main line that he could and scenery quality equivalent to John Allen's. Read about John Allen's nomination in the February 2024 issue of Model Railroader. He surely achieved the scenery goal, and his scratch-built structures won him multiple awards. Due to his excellent craftsmanship and achievements in the hobby, Gil became National Model Railroad Association, NMRA, Master Model Railroader No. 91. In addition to building his own layout, Gil and his wife, Virginia, were heavily involved with the social side of the hobby, being longtime members of the NMRA's Lone Star Region. They would attend local conventions and shows and would plan their vacations around the National NMRA Convention almost every year. His clinic demonstrations of scenery and structure techniques were always in demand, as were his open houses, where about 350 to 400 visitors would view and operate the SC&W over 2 days. In fact, Gil described his layout as, quote, a tool to promote model railroading, end quote. Pierce recognized Gil for his dedication to the hobby. In the Lone Star region, he was a recipient of the Lufker Service Award 1981 and President's Award 2015. The NMRA presented Gil with the President's Award for General Promotion of Model Railroading 2003 and the Inaugural Fellow Award, 2007. Gil was a 50-year member of the NMRA. Aside from modeling, Gil graduated from Texas A&M University with a B.S. in Mechanical Engineering. He retired from Armco Steel after a career in the field. In addition to HO scale, Gil built a 1.5-inch scale diesel road switcher. Gil died on May 22, 2022, in Houston, Texas. He was 86 years old. His wife, Virginia, passed away on April 19, 2022. Ian Rice, 1947 to 2022. 400 articles. You read that right. Ian Rice was the author of more than 400 magazine articles and more than 20 modeling books. He was known as one of the most creative and prolific track planners in the hobby. Not surprisingly, Ian made a career from the business of modeling railways as a designer, pattern maker, and custom builder. He ran weekend courses from his Model Railway Study Center in Devon, UK. Ian was a frequent contributor to Model Railroader, as well as its annual special issue, Model Railroad Planning. He also wrote four books for Kalmbach: Small, Smart, and Practical Track Plans, 2000, Mid-Sized and Manageable Track Plans, 2003, Shelf Layouts for Model Railroads, 2009, and Compact Layout Design, 2015. He authored Prototype Railroad and other historical and topographical books and articles, and even tried his hand at the odd bit of fiction. Model Railroader's Rice Harbor Project layout, featured in the January through May 2014 issues, is named after Ian and designed using his style of track plan. He also built Roque Bluffs, a 1.5 by 12 foot shelf layout built to Proto 87 fine scale standards. Part 1 of that series can be found in the October 2003 issue of Model Railroader. Having wide-ranging railroad interests, Ian always preferred to tackle a series of smaller modeling projects covering diverse subjects rather than concentrating his efforts in a single large undertaking. Not that there was space for anything large anyway in a 200-year-old stone-built Devon quarryman's cottage. Ian was born in London, England, not long after the end of World War II. Trains were an abiding interest from Ian's earliest years. His first model railroad was constructed on an old table tennis table when he was 8. He also enjoyed music and old wooden boats. He passed away on October 8, 2022. Frank C. Ellison, 1887 to 1964. The author behind The Art of Model Railroading has to be included as a nominee for the great influence he had on the hobby. Frank Ellison's masterpiece series of articles was originally published in the March through April 1944 issues of Model Railroader. In his feature on Ellison in the August 2008 issue, the late Andy Sparandio said, quote, "If railroad-like operation is the purpose of a model railroad, this is as fine an explanation of both why and how to do it as we've had in print," end quote. Frank built the Delta Lines, an O-scale outside third rail model railroad that was probably one of the best-known layouts of its day. This layout wasn't well-known just because of its looks. Frank built the Delta Lines for operation. The premise of his book, Frank Ellison on Model Railroads, was that model railroads are meant to be operated like their prototypes. His layout, with location names associated with the New Orleans area where he lived, was maintained by an informal club over the years. What started as a plan featuring a 375-foot-long main line expanded through the years to wrap around his 30-by-44-foot basement space four times. With a point-to-point plan divided into divisions and terminals at each end, and division point, the Delta Lines featured many operating challenges. Frank and the Delta Lines truly pioneered and popularized model railroad operations. However, Frank wasn't just a builder and operator. He was a railroad telegrapher, vaudeville marimbist, storyteller, and a newspaperman by profession, so naturally he began to write about the hobby. A prolific and expressive writer, he wrote more than 50 articles for Model Railroader between 1940 and 1955. With the common theme of these articles being operation, he had a way of telling a story by conveying excitement while making his ideas accessible to anyone who read the article. He also wrote articles about scratch building structures for the Delta Lines, as well as scenery techniques that he used on the layout. Frank passed away on September 30, 1964, in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Diesel Locomotives by Generation article. A look at first through fourth generation engines by Jeff Wilson, photos by Cody Grivno. If you've read stories about diesel locomotives on the trains.com website or in Kalmbach Media's railroad magazines and books, you've most likely seen references to diesel locomotives by generation. But what does generation mean? Unlike automobiles, locomotive manufacturers don't bring out new models each year. The same basic locomotive model can stay in production for years, sometimes decades, albeit with upgrades and detail changes through its lifetime. Diesels also have long lifespans, often lasting 15 to 20 years in heavy service as intended, which can be followed by another 15 to 25 years in secondary or reduced service, especially with rebuilding of the engine itself and other major components. Grouping diesels built during various periods or eras is often referred to by generation, with similar characteristics across locomotives from multiple manufacturers in each time period. Various landmarks in design and evolution mark the boundaries between generations. We're currently in the fourth generation of diesel locomotive production, and although there's a bit of overlap in the time frames that define them, here's a general summary of each generation and what separates them. For additional information, check out my Guide to North American Diesel Locomotives. The book is available online at KalmbachHobbyStore.com and at Kalmbach Media Retailers. First generation diesels. Early locomotives that directly replaced steam locomotives are referred to as first generation diesels. This covers the first diesels of the 1920s up to those built through the late 1950s, including all those built by minority builders, Baldwin, Lima, and Fairbanks Morse. The period began with manufacturers simply trying to make diesel technology work, followed by efforts to make diesel engines more reliable and efficient. Remember that steam manufacturers continued to push their products heavily through the mid to late 1940s, and steam locomotives outnumbered diesels in service into the early 1950s. The first generation of diesels is typified by small, low-horsepower locomotives compared to later eras. Streamlined, cab unit models were the norm until the early 1950s, when railroads realized the versatility of the road switcher. Road diesels were typically around 1,500 horsepower, with some passenger diesels, EMD Echos and Alco PAs, at 2,000 to 2,250 horsepower. The first high-horsepower freight diesels appeared starting in 1953, FM's H24-66 Trainmaster and Alco's RSD-15, both at 2,400 horsepower. But they were curiosities that didn't sell well. Second-generation diesels. Locomotives purchased by railroads to replace early diesels, as opposed to replacing steam, are second-generation diesels. This began happening on a smaller scale by the late 1950s, as EMD pioneered the idea of the, quote, trade-in. Some railroads had traded in FTs for GP9s by the mid-1950s, but the idea really took off by 1960, the year that steam essentially disappeared from Class 1 railroads. The second generation is marked by increased horsepower and the complete changeover to the road switcher. The usual dividing line for the start of the second generation is marked by GE's pioneering 2,500 horsepower U-25B of 1959, EMD's first turbocharged road diesels, the 2,400 horsepower SD-24 of 1958, and 2,000 horsepower GP-20 of 1960. And Alco's redesigned Century line, introduced in 1963. Through this period, horsepower kept increasing, with 3,000 horsepower, EMD GP40 and SD40 series, GE U30B and U30C, and Alco C430 and C630, to 3,600 horsepower, EMD SD45 and SD45-2, GE U36B and C, and Alco C636, models into the 1970s. Six-axle power became the norm for fast freight as well as heavy-haul service. The second generation also saw the demise of Alco in 1969, although Montreal Locomotive Works continued its designs as a minority builder. The remaining two manufacturers made upgrades to their 1960s models, with EMD's Dash-2 line and GE's Dash-7 series, plus EMD's not-so-successful attempt to get more power from its existing 645 engine with the SD50. both manufacturers would soon completely revamp their offerings, bringing the second generation to a close in the early 1980s. Third generation diesels. Third generation diesels, which began appearing in the early 1980s, are marked by the introduction of microprocessor and advanced electronic controls, which improved engine and fuel efficiency, traction, and wheel slip control, and also allowed the eventual advent of AC traction motors. Electromotive Division's SD60/GP60 line of 1984 and GE's Dash 8 series of 1983 were the first and represented complete redesigns of their locomotive lines. Both major manufacturers also developed new and/or redesigned larger diesel engines, with horsepower eventually moving to 4,000 to 4,400 horsepower for most locomotives. Further developments were EMD's SD70 line and GE's Dash 9 models, which evolved through the early 2000s with steadily improving computer monitoring and controls and increased engine efficiency. This third generation, featuring DC traction motors, continued into the 2000s while the next generation of diesels began appearing. Their lines were eliminated by the advent of stricter emission standards by 2005. Fourth generation diesels. The latest evolution in locomotive design, marked by the advent of AC traction motors in 1993, EMD SD70 MAC and GE AC 4400 CW, is known as the fourth generation. The coming of AC traction is regarded as the most significant evolution in diesel technology, as it greatly increased tractive effort and efficiency. However, DC traction locomotives would continue to be built for another decade, as AC traction was significantly more expensive. The fourth generation has also seen adaptation of new diesel engines, largely the result of increasingly stringent emissions regulations, beginning with Tier 0 in 2000 and advancing to Tier 4 in 2015. Earlier, third generation, locomotives met Tier 1 specs in the early 2000s, but tougher Tier 2 regulations, which took effect on January 1, 2005, forced both GE and EMD to redesign locomotives to be both more fuel-efficient and cleaner to operate. The results, GE's Evolution Series GEVO locomotives and EMD's SD70 ACE and SD70M-2, feature advanced electronic engine controls, computer diagnostics, automatic shutdown and startup, and even more advanced microprocessor systems. Tier 4 requirements necessitated a major revision of locomotive designs, including the engine itself and increased cooling capacity. General Electric, now Wabtec, met the regulations with its ET44AC and ET44C4, and EMD with its SD70ACE-T4. The fourth generation has also seen new high-speed four-axle passenger locomotives, including the Siemens Charger, MPI MP Express, and EMD F125 Spirit. Service lives. Many first-generation diesels were retired by the late 1960s, although some, especially EMD GPs, survived another decade or more with rebuilding. Many second-generation diesels remained in front-line service through the 1990s, especially EMD SD40-2s, and they can still be found, rebuilt, in secondary service. Today, fourth-generation locomotives dominate key trains, but there are plenty of third-generation diesels still in mainline service, and many earlier third-gen diesels have been acquired by regional and short-line railroads to replace their aging second-hand first- and second-generation diesels. Jeff Wilson was an associate editor at Model Railroader for 10 years. He currently works as a freelance writer, editor, and photographer, contributing articles to Model Railroader and other magazines. The next article is A Quarter Century of Spookshow.net. The N-Scale Locomotive Resource celebrates its 25th anniversary, by Will Everett, photos by Sean Berry. Like most modelers, N-Scalers have questions. How does a Thurn's Big Boy compare to Broadway Limited's? How can you tell the second run of Kato's GP38-2 from its first? How do you remove the shell of a Fox Valley GP60M? What's the crazy production history of Concours 2882 Mallet? a quirky and indispensable website named after a Rob Zombie album, has these answers and more. The N-Scale Locomotive Encyclopedia, spookshow.net/locos, provides a review of every American and Canadian locomotive model ever made in that scale. The encyclopedia, which will soon celebrate its 25th anniversary, lists 700 models. Each locomotive has been tested by more than 20 hours of runtime. They are evaluated for pulling power, minimum radii, slow speed, and performance through turnouts. The reviews include each model's DCC friendliness, shell removal instructions, an overall grade of A through F, and blurbs from Model Railroader's first review of the locomotive. The brains and elbow grease behind SpookShow.net is Mark Peterson. A computer programmer by profession, Mark got back into model railroading in 1999 after having given it up as a child. Quote, "I didn't know an RS3 from an SD," end quote, he reminisced. Quote, "But N-Scale was cheap, and I began buying a bunch of locomotives," end quote. Buy them all. A collector by nature, Mark realized that it was possible to own one of every model ever made. At that time, the N-Scale wing of the hobby was only about 40 years old. The initial challenge was making a comprehensive list. Mark scoured collector's guides, old Walther's catalogs, and perused every issue of Model Railroader back to 1962, when N-Scale got started. He eventually put photos of every N-Scale locomotive ever made in an online database so that he would have access to which models he owned in order to avoid accidentally buying the same engine twice. This formed the skeleton of what would eventually become the encyclopedia. Quote, "This was in the early days of eBay," end quote, Mark explained. Open quote, "I could purchase decent stuff for $5 to $20," end quote. To this day, he has stayed on top of new locomotive releases by pre-ordering them from various manufacturers. Getting attention. To his surprise, other N-Scale modelers began to find his online list. People from around the world began to email him asking about how well certain Atlas or Kato or Lifelike models ran. Mark has a scientific mind, so to answer these questions, he began a formal evaluation process. Grades proceeded naturally from there. Experts, such as Ron Bearden, Model Railroader contributor, collaborated with Mark on tweaks and fixes for problematic locomotives. Hobbyists modeling specific eras or roads often have to resort to buying used locomotives to fill out their rosters. In this use, Mark Peterson's reviews shine. His rigorous testing reveals common flaws in both new and vintage models, along with fixes to those problems. An industry tool. Eventually, manufacturers took notice. Jeremy Fleming of Rapido Trains has the encyclopedia bookmarked. Quote, "Mark's locomotive reviews are concise and unbiased," end quote, Jeremy said. Open quote. "Since I've become an industry insider, I've interacted with Mark on several occasions, whether it's helping to troubleshoot FP9s or just answering general questions he has about our products. I've got all the time in the world for Mark and what he does. I'd even passed his site on to our project managers for whenever they tackle an N-Scale release," end quote. But wait, why is the website named Spook Show? Mark's internet provider gave him a, quote, "free" website builder. Never intending the site to be bookmarked by thousands of model railroaders, he simply named it in reverence for an album from his favorite performer. And now his N-Scale locomotive resource celebrates its anniversary. Mark regularly receives emails from O, S, and HO hobbyists wishing there was a similar resource for them. N-Scalers know they are a lucky bunch and wish Spook Show a happy 25th anniversary. The N-Scale Locomotive Database has been incredibly resourceful in the N-Scale community for the past 25 years. Here's to the next 25. All the details. Mark Peterson's N-Scale Locomotive Encyclopedia includes a performance review of every North American model ever sold in that scale. Each review includes production years of the model, production history, photos and descriptions of the internal mechanisms, DCC readiness, refreshingly frank reviews, performance on grades, pulling power, speed, reliability, and ability to handle turnouts and 9¾-inch radius curves, common deficiencies with the model, and often useful solutions to those problems, noted trivia about the model, for example, what other companies' shells fit the model, notation of the locomotive's review and model railroader, and A through F grades based on use for model railroad operations. Will Everett is the executive director of a marine environmental nonprofit organization located in Maine called Friends of Casco Bay. This is his first byline in Model Railroader. Thank you for joining us for Model Railroader Magazine, read by Jason Consul.
You've been listening to the Model Railroader, brought to you by Trains.com. That's TRANES.com, in collaboration with AfterSight. If you've enjoyed this episode, we invite you to visit our website at aftersight.org for more audio editions and original podcasts. For additional inquiries or to contact us, call us at 303-786-7777 or email contact@aftersight.org. Thank you for listening.